I want to welcome you to this gathering of our Bridge family all over the world, locally, regionally, and globally. And I'd like to ask you to prepare for a very special time with God in the presence of his family, in the context of his word, and for the purpose of bringing him glory, as I pray all of us are shaped and refined through the teaching and the preaching of his word. Friends, with that said, I'd like to ask you today to think about this. Think about this question. What are you looking for in life? What are you looking for to get out of life? What are you looking for in and out of life? Have you thought that through recently? Many of us, I know, have had a time of deep reflection and contemplation. You see, as I sit and preach, we are in the context of a week that many would say is unlike any other. We have seen the memory of 9/11 come this week, the 24th anniversary of the great evil that visited our world on September 11th. And again, this week, we have seen a tragedy that has literally stirred the heart of a nation, and as we'll see, has polarized many. As hard as it may be to believe, we have seen in the murder and martyrdom of Charlie Kirk a polarizing of people that's hard to imagine. And it brings into focus this question: what are you looking for? What are you looking for in and out of life? Sometimes we find in history, in the reality of our day, that certain questions, certain challenges, certain concepts, certain realities, they're brought to us front and center in a way that cannot be ignored, in a way that we have to process. And I believe this time, this week, this Sunday, this minute marks just such a time. And with that in front of us, and God's word filling us, and God's spirit guiding and empowering us, I want to ask you to pray with me. Pray that God will come and plow the soil of our hearts, and that he will sow and plant and water and fertilize the seed of his word, that in us he will grow and bear much fruit. Oh Lord, I pray that each one within the sound of my voice will contemplate what exactly they are looking for in and out of life. And I pray that each one will come to recognize their need to ask you, seek you, knock at the door, which is you, that they may know you and your glory and your gospel and your grace. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, friends, I want to remind you by way of context that when it comes to God and his word, when it comes to God's will and God's ways, when it comes to our walk and our witness in this world, the context of Scripture, the context of God's word, will, and way matter. Just like we've seen, motive matters. Well, when it comes to understanding God and his word, context matters. In fact, as we continue on in our walk through Matthew's gospel, a teaching and a revealing of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we have come to realize that our Lord came, Creator Christ came, King of the kingdom of God, came into this world for the express purpose of fulfilling the scriptures and fulfilling all righteousness. We find ourselves today looking into Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. And if you have your Bibles, I want to encourage you to come there with me. And know this, that what we have seen is that God and his word are consistent, eternally consistent, never changing. And one of the things that we've learned most recently going through the Sermon on the Mount and recognizing that God means what he says and that he's intentionally shocking the people. He's rattling cages. He's confronting hypocrisy. He's championing righteousness. He's teaching and preaching truth in love to a people who, in large part, thought they already knew. They thought that they were good to go. And the God of creation is saying, no, no, that's not the case. In fact, we heard him say 6 times in a row, emphatically, you have heard, but I say. You have heard, but I say. We've seen him tell the people, listen, unless your righteousness exceeds that of your leaders, those religious hypocrites, you will not, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. We saw before the sermon that he's already made it clear to others, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Follow me and I'll lead you into the kingdom of heaven. We have seen over and over and over again already that our Lord is challenging those who think they know him when in reality they don't. Now today, as we look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11, I want to bring to you this question. What are you looking for in and out of life? And as you'll see, I'm going to ask all of us, the Lord is going to make clear that he's asking all of us, who are we looking to? What are we looking for? He's going to put us through a process that I pray will leave us changed, that will bring to each one of us a series of questions, and perhaps more importantly, his righteous answers to guide us, not just this day, not just in the hard times, but every day that we will live as his witness. Now, last time we were together, one of the things that we stressed is that we need to understand that the word of God is not like a string of pearls. That was the example we used. We said, you've got to understand that each part of the Bible, each scripture, it's not like an independent pearl sitting next to another independent pearl, next to an independent pearl. No, instead, we said, it's like a chain where each link is united and a part of a single long chain where everything is interconnected, everything is related, everything informs and helps to inspect and inspire other aspects and parts of the truth of God and his word. Each part, like the family members, each member of a family is united in that one family. Well, each part of God's word is united in the fullness of God's holy scriptures, the Holy Bible. One gospel account. The Bible tells one story about one gospel that receives the truth and love of all followers so that the one true living and loving God gets all the glory. This is the gospel account of Jesus the Christ, Creator Christ. And what we're about to see is his teaching on how and why this needs to be understood and embraced by everyone on the planet, everyone. And it's why it's at the heart, the core of the witness of those who truly worship Jesus Christ as Lord. Now, let me tell you before we begin, before we unpack this very familiar passage, so many are very familiar with it. And yet I would suggest to you that very many who are familiar with it are not faithfully embracing it the way it was intended by our Lord. What I pray we'll all come to realize here in the Gospel of Matthew, here in the Sermon on the Mount, here in chapter 7, verses 7 through 11, here in every syllable of the Bible, this is what we'll take away. Here's the timeless truth. Here's the big idea. One, Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is God. Number two, our Lord and his word, will, and way are always the righteous answer to every troubling question. If you want to know what you need, what you could and should be looking for in life and out of life, it's Jesus the Christ. We need him. We need to be looking for him. We need to be learning more about him. We need to be loving him more, living for him more. And the way that we get to know him is that we love, learn, and live his word, his will, and his way. And remember, the word of God is both the person of God and the holy scriptures of God. The word, Jesus is the word, and the holy scriptures were breathed out, inspired by him, and also represent the word. So as we go forward, understand this. In a time when the world is filled with so much darkness, so much evil, so much pain, so much suffering, as we think about those who were martyred in Christ's name all over the world this week, again, in the Congo, there was 100 Christians slaughtered at a funeral because they are Christian. Again, Charlie Kirk martyred, a mighty warrior for our Lord, martyred because he is a follower of Jesus Christ. The memory of all of those innocent women and children and first responders, those who were slaughtered, murdered by terrorists 24 years ago, not necessarily because they were Christian, because certainly they weren't all Christian, but the attack came from a false religion and what it calls for in response to a world that was not willing to embrace their false ideology, their false religion. Friends, we need Christ. We need him and his word, his will, and his ways to guide us. So if you, like many others, like me and many others, if you found yourself this week hurting, grieving, staring into the face of great evil, and you wanted to know what to do, how do we go forward? I pray that you'll look deep into the context of Matthew chapter 7. Verses 7 through 11, because here and everywhere else in Scripture, our Lord is looking to meet us and to bring us to the place of not just righteous obedience, but righteous peace, righteous blessing, blessing that comes even in the face of great evil. Let's read what Jesus said. Let's read his teaching, hear his preaching. And then we'll take the rest of our time to simply walk through this in a way that I pray will help all of us to not just learn it, not just love it, but to live it to the glory of God. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11, red letters in your Bible, Jesus here doing the teaching and the preaching. Jesus the Christ says, ask, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Verse 8. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Verse 9. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Amen. Lord, again, I pray that your word will penetrate the soil of our hearts. Lord, I pray that each one within the sound of my voice, especially those who may know the pain of grieving now, those who are asking, where do we go from here? Those who may not know what they should be looking for, who they should be looking for, and those who are looking for the wrong things in the wrong places, trusting the wrong voices, going down the wrong paths. Lord, I pray that you will do a work in each one, drawing them through the power of your Spirit, through the preaching and teaching of your word, your truth, and your love. And I pray that the family of God will grow in number, grow in strength, grow in righteousness, grow in our witness to the world. And may it be in large part here today through the preaching and teaching, the absorbing and the abiding in your word, your will, and your ways. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And so again, friends, let me just bring you back to God and his word. And today, I just want to walk with us as a family through a very swampy time, through a very difficult time in this world. And I want us to hear our Savior. So what are you looking for in life today? What are you looking for to take out of life today as you no doubt continue to deal with the sin and the stain and the pain, the corruption of this world? Well, our Lord has made something very clear. If you want to pursue righteousness, if you want to know how to avoid hypocrisy, if you want to judge righteously and at the same time recognize the dogs and the hogs, the vipers and the wolves in this world, and you want to do it in a way that is truly God-honoring and Christ-like, Jesus says here that there are three emphatic verbs, three emphatic commands. We're to ask, we are to seek, and we are to knock. Again, this is a very familiar passage to those that are familiar with Christian traditions. But I want to ask you this. How often and to what extent do you ask of the Lord? You see, you've got to be humble enough and you've got to be theologically sound enough to know that God answers. God answers his people. God will guide. So let me just ask you, how often and to what extent are you asking the Lord Jesus Christ? Think about the who, the what, the where, the when, the why, and the how questions. Who do you ask when you have challenge? Whether it's what to do in the next fork in the road decision, or when you're staring into the face of great evil, when you're knee deep or neck deep in tragic realities, who do you ask for answers? To what extent do you ask? I want you to think about this, because again, this is an emphatic teaching, and our Lord is in the context of the Sermon on the Mount. Again, don't think of this passage like an independent pearl. This is connected to everything else that he's been teaching. In fact, take it into the full context of Matthew's gospel. We've been told already that we're dealing with the Creator Christ. This is the promised one. Almighty God in the flesh is our preacher and our teacher. Do you realize that? this particular teaching. This is coming from God Almighty. Jesus is Lord, all capital letters, Lord. He is God. He is the one teaching and preaching. And he says that if you want to be righteous, if you want to understand what it is to be poor in spirit, mourning your sin, meek, hungering and thirsting after righteousness, being truly merciful, having a pure heart, and literally making a passion out of bringing people to a place of peace with Almighty God, well, then you're going to be the Beatitudes, and they represent his blessing. Is that what you want? Is that what you're looking for? Are you asking him what is the righteous path to walk in life, especially through these times and trials, these challenges, this evil? Do you understand and do you accept that when you ask him, he says you'll be blessed while being hated, while being slandered, while being persecuted? Who are you asking? What are you asking? I wonder if you've ever learned the lesson of inflection. The lesson of inflection. Let me show you what I mean. When we ask, how we put the inflection in our voice, it has a lot to do with what we're going to take away. When Jesus asked his would-be disciples, what do you want? 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 You see, the lesson of inflection says that each of those inflections brings a different emphasis, a different driving point. Well, when we ask about asking, and I ask you, who do you ask? Who do you ask? Or who do you ask? Or what do you ask? What do you ask? What do you ask? This inflection can change not just how it sounds, but what is taken away. And so Jesus is saying here, ask. And I ask you, who do you ask when trouble strikes? Again, what do you ask? You know, where do you ask? Well, I only ask in church. You know, when do you ask? Well, I only ask after I've gone through so many. You know, how do you ask? Do you pray? How do you pray? Do you go to God's word and ask him to reveal? Why do you ask who and what and where and when? There's so much here. When Jesus said, ask and you will receive, I wonder if you and I understand that's connected to the pursuit of righteousness. It's connected to following him. Asking is the way through the swamp. And do you recognize that asking at its core, it's prayer. It's going to the Lord and asking him. If in fact you are going to Jesus as Lord, and again, I ask you to ask yourself, how deeply do you ask? Do you do a quick drive-by? Do you persist in asking? Like the widow that was famously in scripture, Jesus used this illustration as a positive example. Do you persistently ask? Do you keep asking? Or do you give up? Very, very important question. And we have a promise here. Jesus makes clear, those who ask, receive. Well, what have you received? What do you expect to receive? So important. Do you receive everything that you ask for? Now, Jesus tells us, again, in the fuller context, that we should ask in his name. We ask for that which is in alignment with his will. And as Augustine famously said, love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then go do whatever you want. Well, in the same way, ask of the Lord for what the Lord wants, and you'll get exactly what you want. Again, this is the fuller context of Jesus's teaching. He's not promising that if you ask for health and wealth and worldly prosperity, that you're going to get that. What he promises is that you'll get everything that you need, everything that is in line with his will. Remember what we saw in chapter 6, verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God. And that's what we see here in the second part, where Jesus said, seek, and those who seek will find. Well, the question again is, who are you seeking? Are you seeking Christ? Are you seeking the applause of the world? And again, we've seen Jesus already teaching here that if you're chasing the things of the world, if what you seek is worldly, there's no promise here from our Lord that he's going to give you what the world champions. If you seek, you will find. If you seek him, and again, we have this from Scripture, seek me with all of your heart and you will find me. I wonder what you and I are seeking. Have you thought about that? Now, step back for a minute. And again, I'm going to kind of circle this wagon a few times. Are you knocking? Are you knocking at the door that is Jesus? Many of you know that Jesus has many of the I am statements. Well, one of the I ams is Jesus is the door. Are you knocking at the door that is Jesus? Do you want Jesus? Now think about this. We have a progression here. The asking is a form of verbal praying. The seeking is a way of additional prayer. It's pressing in. The knocking, again, could be seen as a extensive continuation of prayer. I'm knocking, I'm looking for. There's a progression here. In one sense, it's pray, pray, pray. Ask, seek, knock. It's pray, pray, pray. But there's also this progression. You see, when we ask, it's a verbal, it's a question. We're pleading. When we're seeking, now we're actually taking another step. We're going further. Rather than just, hey, could I have that? Now we're coming to the place where we're actually looking for, where we're actually pressing in. So we're not just pleading. Now we're pressing in. And the knocking, well, again, it's another progression. It's where we're persevering. It's the persistence in the persevering. And it's looking for a personal connection. I want you to think about this. If I'm asking, I pick up the phone. If I'm seeking, I've got the binoculars. I'm actually out. I'm searching more. When I'm knocking, I'm looking for a personal connection. I only knock at a door if I think that there's somebody on the other side that's going to let me in. Think about that. It's the progression that we see as well. So if you want to know what we need to do in order to champion righteousness, to overcome the hypocrisy, to be able to discern the hogs and the dogs and the serpents and the wolves. What Jesus is saying is whether you want to grow as a sheep or a shepherd, or you want to know how to engage the goats, avoid the dogs and the hogs, or fight and overcome, hopefully expose the vipers and the wolves, you need to ask me. You need to seek me. You need to knock at the door, which is me. It's all about Christ. The answer is always Christ. The solution is always Christ, as known and shown through his word, his will, and his ways. Think about this. Now, Jesus says again in verses 9 and 10, let me just remind you, those of you who have a sin nature, those of you who are evil, meaning you have a sin nature, you know how to treat your kids. I mean, come on, you know how. And so if you who are evil, you know how to treat your kids well, how much more does your Father in heaven know how and promise to take care of you and me. Now, think about this, because in that knowing, we now have a fourth piece. We've heard ask, seek, knock, and know. Know, K-N-O-W, have a confidence, not just a faith, not just a hope, but a knowing. You and I can know that our good, good Father, He, blowing away the best of fathers down here in the flesh, we can faithfully know and thank Him for being the good, good Father who will always take good care of His family. Now, with that said, I want to circle back around, as I said that we would, and I want you to think about the world that we live in, the pain and the suffering, the tragedy, the realities that are all around us right here this week, right now. Think about those that would fly airplanes into buildings. Think about those that would stab helpless young women sitting on a train in Charlotte. Think about a gunman that would shoot, murder, and martyr Charlie Kirk. Think about the radical Muslims that would slaughter over 100 worshipers at a funeral in the Congo. Think about all of our family members in India that are literally currently being persecuted because they are championing the hope and the healing that comes through the gospel of Jesus Christ, the eternal hope, the eternal healing that only comes through Jesus the Christ and His gospel. Think about our brothers and sisters whose lives are being taken because they are championing this truth and love that is Jesus the Christ. And ask yourself, on the other side of the equation, as we've just looked at Jesus instructing all of us, He's informing, inspecting, and inspiring us to ask Him, to seek Him, to knock at His door, that we might know Him. Do you realize the reality of spiritual warfare? In and through what you see all around us, there is a war happening right now, all day, every day. You want to know how I know? Number one, the Bible tells me, 1 Peter 5:8, there is a roaring lion that we've been told to beware of, an enemy. The devil, he's prowling around like a roaring lion looking for souls to devour. That is why, in part, we've been told in Ephesians 6 to live in the full armor of God. It's God's armor, and we're to live in it all the time. Ephesians 6:10-20. And he's not alone. We're told that he and his demons and his human workers will come at us at times disguised as angels of light, not just disguised as wolves and vipers and false teachers who are in sheep's clothing and telling the people what their itching ears want to hear, those that are leading the Laodicean churches, those that are getting everybody happy while keeping them from growing as holy. God and His Word have told us there are those that are out there actively attacking, actively trying to undermine, actively working out the evil of their father, the devil. John 8:44, the liar who is lying and deceiving. We live in this current and constant war. We know this from the Word of God. Again, I implore you, I exhort you to go to the scriptures. Don't cherry pick the scriptures. Don't listen to those preachers and teachers who cherry pick and jump from sweet to sweet to sweet to sweet to sweet spots in the scriptures. Let God and His Word speak for Himself. Let the scriptures speak holistically in full context. And what you'll find from the very beginning is a battle, a war is afoot. And the faithful family of God praise God, by the grace of the gospel and for the glory of our God, we have won. We have already won the war because Christ has won the war. And the degree to which we know him and his righteousness, 2 Corinthians 5:21, he knew no sin. And yet the Father, who so loved us that he sent his Son to die that we might have eternal life, those who believe and receive him as Lord and Savior, we have his righteousness. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might be the very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And for those of you that might be a little squeamish, or you've been told not to be too confident in this Christ and his promises, his guarantees, I want to send you to 1 John 5:13 and see this, that God in his word say, you and I can know this. We know this because we know him as Lord and Savior. At the same time, you have murderers out there. You have those that are doing great evil, literally attacking and trying to destroy the church of God, the work of God, the witness of God and his family. They're out there. Now, ask yourself this. Who are they asking? Who and what are they asking? It's not the same set of questions. It's not that they're going to the word of God, the will of God, and the ways of God. No, the only reason they would go there is to know what to attack, what to oppose. And make no mistake, there are many who study God's word to know how best to attack God's word, God's family, and the working witness that we represent. I know all too well that the enemy studies us in large part to hurt us, to work against us. They are asking different questions. I promise you, those that have done these heinous evil acts, they're asking different questions than the Christian. They're not asking, how do I bring glory to the one true living and loving God? His name is Jesus. They don't ask those questions. They don't ask a truth-telling pastor or some Christian brother or sister that could show them the way. They don't ask for help where the real help can come from. No, they're asking the wrong questions of the wrong people. How important is it that we get up and we stand and we be the witness, we be the light of the world, we be the salt of the earth, that we be the city of Christ set on the hill, that we be the very aroma of Christ, that we be the army of the Almighty, that we be the ambassadors for Christ, that we be the spirit-empowered witnesses, that we be that koinonia family that truly loves one another so that in our unity, the world will know that Jesus is Lord. How important is it that in the midst of these tragedies and these travesties, that our witness is that of love and forgiveness and worship of God, not burning down cities and attacking and hurting and fighting fire with fire. No, we fight fire with faith. We fight hate with love. We fight lies with truth. We ask our Lord to show us through his Spirit, in his word, via his will and his way, how can we, Lord, be your ambassadors, be your witness in this world? Help us, Lord, to win the goats, to identify and steer clear of the dogs and the hogs. We don't want to cast our pearls before their disrespectful, swining mud. We don't want to have the experience of them turning and tearing us to pieces. And Lord, how do we fight the wolves that are circling the family farm looking for sheep and goats, by the way, to destroy? How do we stomp on the heads of the serpents and the vipers? How can we be as shrewd as those serpents? How can we outsmart the snakes while remaining as innocent as doves? We are asking our Lord, and we look for his word, his will, and his way in his word. There are those who are asking very different questions. How do we kill? How do we stomp out the light? How do we bring pain and anguish to those that would champion the Christ of truth and love? In the same way, what are they seeking? Literally, what are they seeking? They're seeking death. They're seeking dominance. They're seeking to deceive. There's a reason why this incredible war, this pain and suffering is happening all around us, all around the world. It's because there's an enemy of God and his family that want to bring this pain and suffering about. They seek to destroy. They seek to deceive and bring damage. They seek to bring pain. Do you know that there is an element of the Muslim community who believes that their Messiah will come once they've created enough pain and suffering and chaos in the world? They are literally aiming for the corruptive, destructive evil to overtake the world, because they believe at that point they will see what they are hoping for. Now, you and I know what they're going to find when judgment comes, is they're going to find the gates of hell waiting for them. And all of this will be counted. And we're told, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. He will make right these wrongs. But do you understand that there is an element in this world that is literally seeking to destroy the church, seeking to bring pain and suffering, murder and death, literally, to those that claim Christ as King? There are those who are literally seeking out Christians for the sole purpose of hurting, if not killing them, and bringing this message of murder and ultimate martyrdom to the world. They're trying to manipulate emotions. They're trying to intimidate. There is a people, a groups of people, they're not isolated to one name or one subgroup, that are literally seeking out the murder and destruction of the Christian church and every Christian ideal, every Christian witness, every Christian person. Now, what door do you suppose they're knocking at? And I want you to think about this. In Revelation 3:20, we're told that Jesus, speaking to the church at Laodicea, he's standing at the door knocking. So you've got two examples there, and there are others throughout Scripture. But here in Matthew 7, we have Jesus telling us that we should knock at the door that is Jesus. And in Revelation 3, speaking to one of the churches that is not a real church, that is not championing Christ, we have Jesus telling us that that example, the example that he will vomit out of his mouth if they don't change, he knocks at their door. Now, there's a powerful parallel here, because in one sense, Jesus is reaching out to the goats, the dogs, the hogs, the vipers, and the wolves. And he's saying, listen, I'm telling you, what you need is me. Stop. Confess, repent, and seek restoration. If you're breathing, there is no one that has sinned beyond the reach of the gospel. The good news is, if you have life in you, fleshly life, there's still a potential for eternal life. Jesus says to everybody, knock. Knock, and you will be invited in. If you're truly knocking with the fullness of your heart. And he can say that because he knows, we know, that if somebody knocks that way, it's because he's already gifted them with the desire for that knock. He's already at work in them. Remember, it's Jesus who's made it clear that nobody will come to him. Nobody's going to ask truly. Nobody's going to seek truly. Nobody's going to knock truly unless the Father has drawn them, unless they've been graced and touched by God. Jesus is clear. Nobody's going to ask, seek, or knock, or know me unless the Father draws them. And he's just as clear in John 14:6 that nobody can get to the Father except through him. So we have the closed circle of the gospel, and it's making it very clear. Again, pray, pray, pray. Ask, seek, knock. Come to me, and I'll give you what you need. But you've got to come to me. Instead, friends, sadly, tragically, the other side of the war in spiritual warfare, they're not actively knocking at the door that is Christ. They're knocking at the door, which is corruption. They are literally listening to those liars and deceivers. I've heard, and I know this to be true in our culture, that there are many who are asking, seeking, and knocking at the doors amongst the people and to the resources that are literally poisoning their mind. They're being indoctrinated with evil. They're being filled with poison. They're being told the lies that are leading them, not just away from the Lord, but to become arch enemies of the Lord. Those that are doing this heinous act, these evil portrayals. I want you to think about this asking, seeking, knocking, and knowing. Praise God, we can know him. We can know truth and love. We can know the narrow way. We can know what we have in Christ if we are his. This is part of what he's made clear. We can know Christ where knowing is not just a head knowledge, not just a heart knowledge, but an intimacy, knowing the way that a husband and wife know one another with an intimacy that is unifying, literally. This is the essence of the supernatural unity. We can live with a love in a relationship of knowing that will truly empower us. I listened to Charlie Kirk's wife last night. I heard that kind of knowing. I believe I heard that kind of knowing. I heard a wife who literally was broken through the pain and the anguish of evil, literally murdering and martyring her husband, the father of her 3-year-old and 1.5-year-old child. And what she said and the way that she said it demonstrated a knowing, made it very clear that in this time she was asking the right one, the right questions. She was seeking the right one for the right reasons. She was actively in front of all of us, knocking at the door that is Christ for her answers, for her inspiration, for her ability to persevere. She was giving us a witness, an example of this passage. Ask, seek, and knock that you may know. And I want to, again, circle the wagons one more time. And this time, I want to show you something that is the lesson and the importance of grammar and in understanding the scriptures the way the author intends them. Here's where I think some of us may be surprised. You see, when we read this passage in English, our focus goes on primarily those three verbs, those three commands, to ask, to seek, and to knock. But you know, in the Greek context, in the original language, it's actually inverted. The emphasis would be on what you see after those three verbs. Do you remember what the scripture said? Those that ask will receive. Those who seek will find. Those who persistently persevere in knocking will find that they are invited in. The door will be open. They will have communion. There will be a oneness. Do you realize the progression here that we talked about earlier? That we're going from asking to seeking to persistently persevering and pressing in. Well, notice this. And here's where the grammar can really be insightful. I want you to hear it, same thing, but I want you to hear it with a different inflection, a different application of how the words fit together. Have you ever considered, and I want to go back to my opening question, how often and to what extent do you ask the Lord? How often and to what extent do you seek the Lord? How often and to what extent and what degree of persistence and perseverance applies to your knocking at the door that is Jesus? What are you asking? How are you asking? Why are you asking? Why, how are you seeking? Why, how, where, when are you knocking? Watch this. Hear the word of God now in a same wording, different inflection and grammatical emphasis. Do you realize that the people who receive are the ones that are asking? The people who find are the ones who are seeking. The people who have union, oneness with Christ are the ones who are knocking. This is the connection. Yes, we can read it in English and understand we are to ask, to seek, and to knock. And in so doing, by God's grace, through his gospel and for his glory, we'll have a knowing. But don't miss this. This is where you see sovereign grace, the gift of God, and its relationship and its connection to human responsibility. You want to receive? Start asking. James has made it clear. There's a lot of reasons why we don't receive. We ask with the wrong motive. We ask the wrong way. We ask for the wrong things. Hear what Jesus is saying. The receivers, they're the askers. They're the righteous askers, those who ask righteously, receive. The receivers are the askers. Those who find not just Christ, but they find the will of God. They find the ways of God. They're the seekers. I wish I had a nickel for every time I heard somebody express a desire for some kind of grace from God, but they're not willing to do the actual pursuit. They want to find, but they don't want to seek. They talk about treasure, but they won't do any digging. They ask for God's favor, but they won't walk by faith. They seek the superficial, but they won't embrace the supernatural. Think about it. The receivers are the askers. The finders are the seekers, those that have a holy communion, a oneness with Christ, are the knockers. They're not the one and done crowd. They're not the flyovers. They're the yes, Lord, no matter what, family. This is what we see. And just to continue the parallel from earlier, if you want to see and know the worst of the worst of the worst of the enemy, you'll find them. They are the ones that are persistent in their asking. They receive the instructions from hell because they're asking the devil to guide their steps. They find the worst of the worst of the worst ways to attack and hurt and maim and destroy because that's what they're seeking. They're looking for the ways to do the greatest damage and deception. They get very good at being bad because they're invested in it. They seek how to destroy and deceive, and then they find it, and they get really good at it. You want to see the ones that are doing the greatest harm in the world, the ones that are doing the greatest damage? They're the ones who are persistently trying to do the devil's work. The principle holds. Those who receive, who hear, and get the instructions, they're the ones who are asking. I ask you, friends, how much and to what extent, to what degree does asking of the Lord, for the Lord, To what degree does that mark your life? I pray to God it's a part of your witness. I pray to God it's a part of your everyday walk. I pray to God it's a part of the way that you live in this war. It's an expression of worship, asking the righteous questions of the righteous one for righteous reasons is the greatest way that you and I can witness to this world. Let us pray, 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 and obey. I ask you, what are you seeking? To what extent are you seeking? If you look at the Lord, his word, his will, and his ways, his mission, his message, his methods, if that's something that you say, well, yeah, I'm not opposed to that. I mean, I'll accept some of that. And I'm certainly, if I get a chance, I will. That's not a passionate devotion to seeking after God's glory, seeking the glory of God through the sharing of his gospel and the living out of his grace. That's not seeking. It's like those I have seen over the years who say when Jesus calls us, commands us, commissions us to follow him and be fishers of men, I've seen people who say, listen, I'm not opposed to fishing. Every fish that jumps in my boat, I'll bring to the market. But don't ask me to cast a net. Okay, maybe I'll put a little bait on a hook. But let me remind you, Jesus wouldn't fish with bait. It's the net of the gospel, the proclamation and the witness of his glory, the demonstration of his grace, the living out of gospel truth in love. I ask you again, to what extent and how often, how persistent are you knocking at the door? Jesus, please guide me. Jesus, please empower me. Jesus, please, I don't want to do anything outside of your word, your will, and your way. Help me, Jesus, please, to be in this moment. As I'm on the mountaintop, keep me poor in spirit and humble. As I'm going through the valley, Lord, keep me strong and courageous. Lord, every day, all day, let me be a testimony to you and your truth and love. Is that what you're knocking at? I pray to God that the answer is yes, because I promise you, you are up against, I'm up against, we are up against an enemy that is asking, knocking, and literally seeking what the devil wants in this world. And if you and I are going to know, and think about that, what Jesus said, listen, you guys who are evil, you know how to do good. He says, listen, there's common decency to the goodness of God. And then he says, now all of you, you know that if you're good, God is great, right? How much more at our core, how much do we know and how much do we believe in the common grace that our Lord has shared and the common sense that is declared here in verse 11, that for the family of God, when we ask, seek, and knock, we can know him as Lord and Savior, as our Father. We can trust him no matter what. You want to know how to discern the hogs and the dogs, the snakes and the wolves? You want to know how to live righteously and not be like the hypocrites? How to fish for the men that are goats in this world? How to be the very family of God? He said, listen, I know I've challenged you. I know I've rattled your cages. And I'm going to close this sermon starting in a couple of weeks. I'm going to close this with some multiple warnings, deep, serious, eternal warnings. So right here, right now, as we focus on relationships, I want you to know how to have this righteousness, to live out the fullness of what it is to be the family of God, to be the citizens of the kingdom of heaven. This is how. You ask me, you seek me, you knock at my door that you may know me. That's how this works. This is how you will witness. This is the essence of worship. This is victory in Jesus. That's what he's bringing to us here. And I pray at a time and a place when the world is filled with darkness, evil, pain, real pain, that we will ask the Lord. We will seek the Lord. We will knock at the door of our Lord, that we will know our Lord as King, as Creator, as the anointed Christ, whose righteousness he offers to us, that we could show the world his glory. Oh Lord, I pray that each one within the sound of my voice will take away from this time what you have deposited, a call, a command, a compassionate commission to ask, seek, knock, that we may know, that we may know and show the world your glory, your gospel, and your amazing grace. I lift this all up in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.